Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to NASCAR Coast to Coast. We break down all things grassroots racing and, of course, NASCAR roots with our national, regional, and weekly touring series here on the Motor Racing Network. The show is presented by Whelen Engineering. On the road, in the air, and around the world, Whelen is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, and trusted to perform. My name is Chris Wilner, MRN pit reporter, MRN announcer Kyle Rickey out at the Stafford Speedway. Looks like a beautiful day. Okay, Rick, you guys just wrapped up a fall final, this past weekend. Of course, you got Champions Night coming up. But Kay, Rick, we got a lot to talk about. We've got champions on the show. Two of them, in fact. We've got Trevor Ward, who won the Virginia Triple Crown, of course, the Martinsville 300 as well, and Trait Lapsovich, who captured the NASCAR Pinty Series title. So let's get right to it. Kyle, how was your weekend? Tell me all things Stafford this past week.
Well, it rained. I guess is the easiest way to put it. The Napa Fall Final is now on beyond Saturday, October 28th. We're back in action this Friday night, where apparently there's a pretty good chance where it's going to rain. So that seems to be the theme of the year. We were in the office earlier today, kind of tallying up the number of Fridays that we have either been completely rained out or threatened by rain. 13 of our 17 nights have been either threatened or completely washed out by Mother Nature. So, yeah, it's been one of those years, but hopefully the fall final in October is a bit nicer. 40 cars, I think, are entered, 42 modifieds entered for that event. So we'll try it again.
Saying a prayer for you, Kyle, and the folks up at Stafford. We got to get this thing in and cap off a great 2023 season. Well, you know who capped off a great season on the late mile side of things? Gio Ruggiero and Donnie Wilson Motorsports captured the ASA Southern Super Series title, the first driver actually to do it in 10 years under the ASA banner. Remember, they kind of went away for a while. The ASA back with Southern Super Series after a fourth place finish at Five Flags. The winners of that race, the doubleheader for the Blizzard Series, we had Steven Nassi in his debut for Anthony Campy Racing. And of course, Bubba Pollard picked up a win for Bubba. I think it was a nine race Blizzard streak, winless streak. So couple drivers getting some much-needed wins as we, of course, get closer and closer to the end of the season and we all start talking Snowball Derby. But, Kyle, a couple big names getting some big wins this weekend.
Yeah, big wins at Five Flag Speedway, a great field of cars once again. And, you know, good for Gio Ruggiero, who is from this neck of the woods up here in New England.
That's right. And we already mentioned about Stafford being rained out, so sorry to hear that. But then let's get right to the big news of the weekend. And that was where the Motor Racing Network, yours truly, Dave Moody, Alex Hayden, and Steve Post were on the call for the Valley Star Credit Union 300. A finish of the ages, and arguably in the conversation for finish of the year. I know we've had a couple good ones as well across our national and regional touring series, but Kyle, nothing like a good old-fashioned 25-lap shootout for $32,000 and the Martinsville grandfather clock. And it all came down to Landon Huffman and Trevor Ward, who put on a thriller of a show, banging wheels all the way to the start finish line. You couldn't ask for anything better in one of the most prestigious late mile stock races in the country.
And you're waiting for both of them to go spinning, because that seemingly, I feel like that's what happens traditionally late in this event, where the leaders get into each other, the top five go piling in, and somebody not even a factor for most of the event ends up winning. That did not happen. One of the cleanest late model races we have seen in a long time at the Martinsville Speedway. 0.05 of a second between the two in a near photo finish at the checkered flag. It was really fun to watch on Flow and listen to on the Motor Racing Network. You guys did an amazing job bringing to life those last, well, the entire event, but especially those last 10, 15 laps. The last 25 laps, especially since the break, was an amazing event. And look forward to talking to our race winner here in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Trevor Ward, of course, took home the big win. I think even surprised himself. We'll get his reaction to that, as well as taking home the Virginia Triple Crown. Going into the event, it was all Bobby McCarty versus Carson Quapel. Carson did rally for a third place finish after being up front most of the day, but Bobby McCarty was the car to beat through majority of that race, and then his race ended up in a plume of smoke there in the final half, and unfortunately that left the door wide open, though, for plenty of drivers. Peyton Sellers, a former champion, was up there banging wheels. He actually had some brake issues, he told our Steve Post late in the race, so that may have affected him toward the end. Doug Barnes with a top five finish, yep. But Landon Huffman, you got to give him credit. He had every opportunity to ship Trevor Ward out of the way and I guess what the kids call do it dirty and go on and win the race. But they held on. He raced as hard but as clean as possible. And I think that says a lot about the racer that Landon Huffman is. His time will come, Kyle. I think this won't be the last time he'll be racing for a win at Martinsville.
Oh, absolutely not. One of the best in the business. Has been a factor there before, and I'm sure will be a factor again. An impressive field, 84 cars trying to make the race. No last chance qualifiers, something new, I believe, to the format this year. You had two opportunities to qualify in time trials on Friday night to get a good starting spot in the qualifying event. And then you had to be in the top 10 in those heat races or you were done for the night. And there were some big names that also didn't make the event because they were involved in incidents in their heat race. And there was no real safety net with the last chance race like we've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, a couple of past champions didn't make it. Some that did, like Mike Looney, had all kinds of issues. National champion Connor Hall had plenty of problems. He went several laps down in that event. And, of course, there was some controversy there with the way he was scored, but we won't get into that. Otherwise, it was a great race. And, of course, it wouldn't be Martinsville without a little fisticuffs back in the garage area in one of the heat races. I believe it was Magnum Tate's crew going up against, and I can't remember off the top of my head who it was, but it was all captured on Flow. If you haven't seen it, head over to their social channels, of course, their website. But, I mean, that's Martinsville, right, Kyle? When you have top 10 and you have, you know, 20-some car heat races, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, but don't be fighting on somebody else's car that's just lined up and ready to go out onto the racetrack and try to make the event. I think both of the guys, and they were big boys, were landing on his hood, and he's just sitting there lined up wanting to go in the next heat race because that's where they staged the cars over off the backstretch in the garage, and that's where this fight broke out, and a couple of innocent bystanders, including an innocent car, taking part of taking the brunt of it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, certainly provided the entertainment. Luckily, everybody was okay in that melee.
Yes.
All right, let's get to champ. He is here, and he's standing by on the flip side of this break. We're talking Trevor Ward, the man who shocked them all and took home the grandfather clock, the Virginia Triple Crown. What a story for Trevor Ward. He'll tell you about it coming up next here on NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan Engineering.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Time.
Trevor Ward saves it. He has a nose advantage down for the final time in the corner number three. Huffman drives in and deep to the outside. Side by side for the final time off corner four.
Checkered flag in the air and a grandfather clock is going to belong to Trevor Ward. Trevor Ward wins the Valley Star Credit Union 300 at the Martinsville Speedway. Trevor Ward by half a car will beat Landon Huffman, who finishes second.
Welcome back into NASCAR Coast to Coast. As promised, joining us via Zoom, it is the big winner from the Valley Star Credit Union 300 at Martinsville over the weekend, Trevor Ward, in a thriller. Trevor, boy, man, a couple days removed from this, and that's been the talk of short track racing was the finish between you and Landon Huffman at the end of that race. Let's start there, because I know it was just a busy day, and it's tough to really compartmentalize it all once you look back on it, but walk me through the final restart and just the battle with you and Landon. I think you guys kept it clean, you kept it respectable, but you drove each other really hard, and it was just a joy to watch.
Yeah, it was an awesome opportunity to be able to finally do that with some guys that's
that's been running good. So it was when that caution come out, we were sweating it on pit wall. They said, or the whole team was sweating. I was sweating, and I was like, man, we have a really good car. This is our race to win. Like, we've done everything. We've X'd every mark off the book and that we could possibly do that to execute this. And I come on the radio, I was like, but guys, look, we're going to look at it this way. I said, whatever happens, it's not because they don't know we was there. We were there. So, we raced hard, and he, you know, he kind of moved me up the racetrack a little bit, which I was expecting, which I would have done the same thing if I was him. He moved me up the racetrack, and, you know, we settled back in. Thank the Lord that, you know, there wasn't a lot of chaos behind me and created a lot of chaos right there and going into one. But we come out of it off of two, and I dialed in, and I was like, I was just the spotter, I think, called five laps to go. And he's took the lead after we then led the last 14 of it. And I just zoned in, and I started making a run on him, and he kind of let the door be open, and it was almost like he knew I was there. Like, I wasn't completely there, but it's like he left the door open for me, and we took advantage of it. And I knew that I couldn't go ahead and clear him for sure. Like, I was like, if I clear him, I don't know if he's going to give me another shot or not. So I kept trail breaking it down the back stretch, trying to keep him on the high side of me because I had control. The car was so good that, you know, I had control of, well, you know, wherever I wanted to put it at. And I was allowed to be able to put a race on like that with him, because a lot of times when you got an ill handling race car, it's really hard to race somebody on the outside. And we had just a really, really good car, and we could feed the bottom real good. And I could keep him out there, trail break it, whatever I had to do. And I didn't want him to go no further behind my right rear than he needed to. And we could control it and try to dictate it. And we bounced off each other a couple times, it was just an incredible race. I think the last lap, I didn't even know he was on the outside. I mean, I just kind of blocked the spot around everything around me.
We saw and heard the post-race interviews after the event there on the front stretch here on the Motor Racing Network. What was the celebration like once all the microphones and cameras cleared, though, a few minutes later? And I'm sure it went well into the night.
Man, I had to do an interview for Flo that night. You know, I just got my suit and we were in the tech shed, and I was like, how long is this going to be, guys? I got to go get my car pulled apart so we can get it through tech. You know, I said, I build my cars. That's what I do. So they were like, man, that's incredible. I was like, so we did that interview, and, you know, we didn't really have a lot of celebration, but we took the car apart, got the spindles off and truck arms and all the stuff they wanted to look at. And, I was like, man, I want this motor down in a box. I said, I need to rebuild it after that burnout. But unfortunately, I'm glad we didn't have to tear it all the way down. I was tired and all that. And they checked what they needed to check for, and they shook my hand. And we went back to the trailer, and just like, you know, we looked down pit road and everybody was gone. And I was like, man, like, this is a one time of a lifetime walking out of this place knowing we're on top right now. And people's done this for 20, 30 years and never been able to do it. And I said, I don't know why the good Lord has made me the lucky one to do it. So I can't thank the good Lord above and the man upstairs for doing what he's done for me and giving me the energy to continue to do this with these people.
And that takes me to my next question is when did the moment hit you of the history of this place and the race and all those drivers that have come before you that have either won it or have come close to winning it and never have? But when did it hit you that I've accomplished something special? I know you said, you know, this is one for the working guys, right? This is one for the guys that, you know, work on their own stuff and you know, it's not about, you know, the show and things like that. But I mean, when did it hit you that you accomplished something that not a lot of people get to do?
I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's completely hit me yet. You know, it's just been pretty hectic this last couple of days, and I just want to let everybody know I'm busy. Ago or 4 days ago, I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to work on my cars. I'm going to do what I love to do. I'm going to hang out with my best friend. We're going to work on race cars. We're going to try to make the best living we can at it so we can survive. And I'm going to take care of my child. So that's what I want to do. And I want to be successful at it. And it hasn't all sunk in yet. You know, I want to do something for all the people that has always believed in me and is stuck in there by my side for sure. And they're super pumped, but it is a dream come true, of course, that to be able to pull that off. You couldn't have had any better fairy tale night than that right there. So that was a big statement, you know, that all these guys that's coming up or these kids that's coming up through, you know, racing and stuff, that like, you know, you can do this. And racing in the car store, them guys that I raced with, you know, that was out there the other night, you know, they know how hard we work. You know, they do. They come up to us every week and they're like, man, if you could ever get some sleep, you'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. But I just, you know, I've never been able to get a lot of sleep. You know, two guys running a, you know, it's almost like a full-time job now to do these late model cars. And you don't get a lot of sleep. You know, there's a lot of 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning deals trying to get stuff right and to be competitive and to bring nice appearing cars to the racetrack. And we try to do the best to make a statement that, you know, we try to build the nicest cars that we can possibly build and the neatest cars and do them better every time we build one. So I got to thank all the people that's believed in me, man. And that, like, yes, the blue collar guy can do it if you work hard enough, you know. So it's awesome to be able to have that experience in my life.
I think I read somewhere that you build a car specifically for Martinsville every year. Is that true?
Yeah, so this year is a little different. Like, so I normally build a car every year going into Martinsville, this year I was running a little bit behind on my fundings. You know, I was like, you know, I had enough money to do, you know, the Martinsville deal, but I just didn't have the money to build a car and start over. So we had success with that car last year at Martinsville. We run out of fuel, I think, running eighth. We run out of fuel on lap 175. And we've kept that car clean all year, and we've won two races at Ace and we've had some really good finishes at South Boston with it. And we stripped it down and went through everything. I mean, every nut and bolt went through, new bolts. And I mean, basically made it a brand new car again. It was brand new body, you know, motor, rear end, all that stuff. We pulled out and got it sent off, and then we did our deal to it. And so, yeah, like I said, it was it's always been hard on me on that race. Cause I mean, even whether you strip a car, I think it was harder stripping the car than it was building a new one from scratch, because we had to pull the old stuff off and see what was going to change and what was new and what was different. So I told Corbin, I was like, man, we'd have been better off just building another race car. If we had the money, it'd have been a lot faster, cause we had to tear it down and put it back together. So we were still running behind, like always, going into Martinsville at like 8 o'clock. I think it was like 8:30 or 8:45. We was rolling in there. We was probably the last trailer rolling in, like always. And always behind on the eight ball, and we just happened to unload that day, and we went P1 on the board the first practice, and Corbin and me looked at each other, and we started crying then, you know, like me and, like, we don't cry, but we about started crying right there. It was like, what did we just do, man? Like, how is this happening? Like, I'm running on 32 hours of sleep. He's running on 30 hours of sleep because he got 2 hours of sleep going down there on the travel time. And so I got my guys sleeping in the back that's been up all night, and I've been up all night pulling the trailer to track, And I was like, man, if I can just unload good, I might can just kind of sit back and get some rest, but that don't ever work out like it should. And so we never did. And going into qualifying, it's a drug out deal, and it's 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock qualifying starts. And I've now been up, you know, I don't even know, it's getting close to 30 hours or something like that. That's what it was, I think. And I missed qualifying. I guess I just didn't drive it hard enough or something, but I knew we had a good car. And that rain out, man, was huge to my deal, to be able to sit back on Saturday morning and wake up. And I got to look at the qualifying and be like, where did I miss it at? And I was like, man, the car just looks flawless, guys. And I just feel like I didn't drive it hard enough. You know, I was tired and I wasn't thinking straight. So we had that whole day to evaluate everything. And I just could spend time with my family and everybody around me that, you know, was there for me. And we went into Sunday like it was, you know, a new day, and that's how it all went down. It was a pretty cool experience, really.
Just how hard is it, especially on Sunday when we get to the heat races, to make the main race, let alone go do what you did and win the thing? But we see time and time again, these heat races are the toughest races in the country. They're oftentimes get pretty physical. We saw a couple throw hands back in the garage area, but just how difficult is it when you get that mindset going into your heat race, knowing it may seem easy on paper, top 10 right in your end, but it's really not easy at all?
No, it's not. I mean, like I just said, it's you know, a lot of people say, yes, Trevor had the best car in that race the other night. You know, I don't even know that we did have the best car. There could have been somebody that went home that had a winning race car. So, and unfortunately, like, you know, you could have a flat or, you know, a brake caliper lockup or anything in them heat races that can take you out of contention when you have a winning race car. So it's a lot of stress. And once that, and I think once the heat race is over with, it's like a stress of a relief. Like, it's like you got fresh air, you know, like you get out of the car, like, we're in this thing, we got a shot. And so every year I'm nervous getting in. I think we've raced there 7 times. I made the field 5, but every year it's the same thing. Like, am I going to be able to make it in this race or not? Like, it's just that competitive nowadays.
Final question for you, about the amount of time that you have tried to make this event. You mentioned a moment ago that there are teams that have been there for decades. What's it mean to you to win this race? Because you're one of those teams that have been there for what, 32 years with your dad, I think is what the stat I read.
Yeah, my dad attempted that race. Sorry guys, my phone was about to die. My dad's raced his whole life, and I've seen him struggle. Like, I mean, I've seen him stay up and get sick and do the same thing. And that's what I was, you know, I made that statement. Like, it's, I don't know how many years he did that in a row. And he qualified 2nd 1 year, and about had it won. It was a green, white checkered. And there was an incident. I think it got wrecked or something. And he never could pull that race off. And he wanted it so bad, but he never could get it. And like, I watched him stress out. And it actually has laid a burden on him, like his whole racing, the end of his racing career. Like, he's always wanted that. And he knows that he was getting older and he can't do it. And to be able to do that, man, and bring that clock home, and my family knew that we did it, you know, I seen a relief of stress in his eyes. Like, it was like, we did it, you know. So he actually could live through me and do that. And I'm grateful that I was able to do that for my dad and him be proud of me, for sure. You know, we don't always get along, but man, it's still my dad and I love him to death, and it's just hard, you know, but he's always there for me. And it's hard working with your dad sometimes, you know, like, you know, you always are up each other, you know, at each other. You're like, no, I know this, dad, you know, son, you need to listen to me do this. But he's taught me a lot, and, you know, I've kind of took a lot of it and run with it and built a lot of stuff around it, and had a lot of good people that's been involved with me to encourage me to be better. So I didn't just wake up knowing this all, you know, so it was a lot of people behind me that put me where I needed to be.
Brandon Ward works out of the shop. What's your relationship like, and how cool is it to have him down there? I know he's going to be running the Modified coming up when the NASCAR Wheeling Modified Tour runs Martinsville. But how special was it for him to be there? But what's it been like working with him? I know he runs out of the same shop as you.
Man, it is awesome, man.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at zonepouches.com and retailers near you. Own your zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Like, I moved out of my old man's shop about, I think it's been 2 months, 3 months ago, and them guys welcomed me in that shop with open arms. And me and Brandon's been able to bounce a lot of deals off. You know, he was racing for that championship at the stadium, and I was like, man, you better bring that thing back here. You know, you better do it. And he was like, I hope I do, man. It's going to be hard because it's hard racing over there. And he ended up, you know, we pushed each other, and he pushed me, and he – every day you'd walk in the shop, he says, you got that thing ready to go win that clock? Because I need to know what time it is. Like, it's just, you know, we'd make jokes. And it was good stuff, man. The whole deal was just – it's been incredible. They're like family to me. And, you know, Kevin Powell, you know, he's welcomed me in there and to do what we needed to do. And Brandon, he's pushed me. And them guys was able to be on pit wall and be able to experience what I experienced. I mean, it was a dream come true, man, really, honestly.
And the cherry on top was the Virginia Triple Crown, the extra $7,000 check with that. I know you were more focused on the race, but that's got to be an added bonus as well when you found out you got that title.
Yeah, I really, at the time, like, I knew the spotter was like, it was like lap 140 or 50. I don't know exactly when the caution was out. He's like, hey, or I think it was when Bobby had, you know, lost that motor. He's like, hey, boys, we got a shot at this. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, the Triple Crown. I was like, oh, I wasn't even thinking about the Triple Crown, man. I was thinking about this clock we're about to win. But we didn't even know we was going to win that clock, man. We was just trying to get a good finish and let everybody know that, you know, we can still compete. You know, we wasn't thinking we were going to seal the deal. We knew we had everything in order to do it. But, you know, like I said, it could have been a flat tire or anything could have costed us a race. But the Triple Crown was cool, man. Really cool experience how that went out. You know, we went up to South Boston, and we ended up coming out of there with a 3rd after everything was settled in. And we went 2 laps down in that race, and
we got their laps back and ended up coming back to fifth, and then a couple people got through out or whatever. It went on, and we ended up going into the Hampton Heat third in the Triple Crown, and I've never been to Langley. So I was a little nervous. Why I blew up at South Boston the night before, or the weekend before, and I didn't have any more motors. I blew up two motors this year, and, I mean, this is a low-budget team, really. I'm honestly telling you the truth, but we didn't have no motor. So a guy named Ronald Hill calls me. I know y'all probably heard of Ronald Hill. He raced in the car store and stuff. And he said, hey, buddy, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, I got an old spec motor laying out here if you want to come pick it up. I was like, man, I really appreciate that. He's like, I said, I'll call you back. He said, no, you come get this thing now, son. So I left the shop after I got back from South Boston at 2 o'clock in the morning, left the shop and hauled down to Rougemont, and he met me at 2:30 in his underwear in the garage, and we picked it up. And so it was like a cool experience, man. He probably wasn't in his underwear. We had a robe on or whatever. I don't know what it was, but he jacks the motor up, puts it in the back of the truck. We hauled tails back home, and Sunday morning, wake up, start swapping motors out, and head to Langley. And we go down there, and it wasn't the best deal. We didn't have the best car, and we ended up coming out with a seventh place finish, and that would have allowed us to be in contention, man. And to be able to do it, it was like, wow, man, we did all this work, and it was all a joke and just having fun, and now it's true, you know. So it's pretty cool, man.
Well, can't wait to see what you do with that grandfather clock. I'm sure you're going to find a special place for it, I'm sure, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right now, it's sitting in the shop with the car, you know, just taking it all in.
All right, make sure you keep telling that time each and every day you earned it. That's Trevor Ward, your big winner from Martinsville, and, of course, the Virginia Triple Crown champ. Congratulations, Trevor. Best of luck the rest of the 2023 season.
Hey, thank you, guys. And like I said, thank you to Jim from Digital Repair and Mike Bledsoe Mechanical, Folsom Fence Supply, Clark's Automotive, LP Gear, Two Tents Designs, just everybody that's had a part. Steve's Classic Cars, Steve Stallings Classic Cars. Thank you for always believing in me and supporting me. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you so much. Trevor Ward, again, big winner at Martinsville and the Virginia Triple Crown champion for 2023. Coming up next, much more to come, including a visit that Kyle sat down with Trayton Lapcevich, our NASCAR Pinty Series champion. That's all coming up next on NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan Engineering.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Welcome back to NASCAR Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network. The NASCAR Pinty Series season ended this past weekend with their Fall Brawl Championship event. And not only did we have the driver that won the championship also win the race, Trayton Lapcevich joins us here on the guest line. And Trayton, first off, where are you? It looks like an amazing day wherever you are celebrating this championship.
Yeah, we're in downtown Toronto right now. That's the base of the CN Tower right there. So it's turned out to be a really nice day. So perfect.
I assume you've been to the top of the CN Tower. I know us here at the Motor Racing Network, one of our travels a few years ago when we went up to the races up there, you know, part of our sightseeing experience was to go to the top of the CN Tower and an amazing view of the city.
Yeah, it's wild. Been up there a couple of times. So really cool and a good view of the city.
So how's the last 24 hours been picking up that championship and the win yesterday afternoon at Delaware?
It's been pretty crazy. I mean, it was nice knowing that we just had to start the race to be able to clinch the championship. So definitely wanted to go for that win. And we wanted to treat the race kind of like we had been all year, run some good patient races. And we've been able to work on the car throughout the day. And that's pretty much what happened yesterday. We were able to put ourselves in a good position with a good car and be there at the end.
Is that easier to do knowing that you just had to start the race and the championship was yours and then you could treat the race like you've treated all the others and not have to worry about counting cars and counting points?
It is. I mean, like these last couple races, specifically iCar and CTMP, been doing a lot of points racing just because the fields are so big at those races. And, you know, if you have a bad day at a road course, it can turn into a really bad day in the point standings. So definitely a different style of driving when you know that the pressure's off and you can just treat it like you have every other race.
Let's talk about the race yesterday. You got to the front, you led a bunch of laps, just shy of 100 laps, which tied the all-time lap leader in a single season for you. But once you got to the front of the field, car looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We were having some issues with the brakes. When they were cold, one of the brakes was hanging up and just making me struggle on entry to the corner. But we made some good adjustments at the halfway break, kind of figured out the brake issues as much as we could to be able to. I think I ended up turning my fans off on the longer runs and just to keep the heat in the brakes and kind of mitigate those issues. So made some good adjustments. The whole 22 racing team worked really hard all day yesterday. And we definitely had a really good car for the last 125 laps there.
Top five in the championship standings last year with a couple of wins. This year, obviously, a much different result. Crowned this year's champion. Six wins, seven wins on the season for you and your team. What was the biggest difference from last year to this year? And how much did you learn a year ago that you could apply to this season?
You know, it was a lot of luck, too. I mean, last year, I think we had three DNFs, and that's really just the difference. It's no secret that it takes completing all the races and doing that in the top 10, which we're able to do this year, just to be there at the end in the championship. So everyone always just seems to have their little point of bad luck throughout the year. And if you can just be able to run in the top 10 all season long, then you can always be there at the end for a championship.
You mentioned a little bit ago the big car counts, especially on the road courses at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park a couple of weeks ago, Circuit iCar. How would you characterize the health of the NASCAR Pinty Series now? As somebody that's been around the series for a long time, as you know, your family has found a lot of prior success in the series.
I think the series right now is really at an all-time high. I mean, the schedule is amazing. We're running on asphalt ovals, the road courses, street circuits, and now the dirt ovals too, which I think has been a really good addition to the series. And with that, the car counts have been great, as you mentioned. So the competition level is higher than it's ever been, and the health of the series is certainly an all-time high.
We talk about on the show here week in and week out about how it's such a short season just because of the weather up there. You guys don't start until May, and now here we are in mid-September wrapping things up. Is there room for growth in your eyes? Are there more tracks up there that could potentially host an event? And can teams afford to expand an already fairly busy schedule in a four-month period?
Well, you know, the second thing you mentioned there is really the biggest issue. I mean, it's definitely from the teams. It's whether we would like to do more races. There's definitely some good racetracks around all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast that we could hit and certainly expand the schedule. But just nowadays, we're finding it really hard to find the funding to do a full season as it is right now. And then, you know, if we add some more races, then that funding is, you know, required to be more. So that's definitely the issue. I think the teams right now are really happy with the 14 race schedule. It's kind of, you know, we have the doubleheader at Oswegan and the doubleheader at Saskatchewan. So that's something that the series could definitely look into a little more, completing more of those doubleheaders if they want to expand the races in the schedule. But other than that, I don't know if going to more locations might exactly be the best bet.
What's it mean to carry on the Lapcevich name here in the NASCAR Pinty Series? Obviously, Jeff, dad, has had so much success over the years. Younger brother, Caden, won the championship several years ago. What's it mean for you now to carry the name and into the next decade here up top the Pinty Series standings?
It's really cool. You know, it doesn't really seem that long ago that I was in victory lane when Caden won it in 2016. Just a little guy then, but, you know, aspirations to do the same thing as my big brother and follow in the footsteps. So it was also really cool that Caden was able to be there yesterday. He's definitely very busy down south with the busy ARCA schedule and crew chiefing at Venturini. So it worked out really good that he had an off weekend this weekend and was able to make it there, and the whole family was there to celebrate.
I guess the next big question is, what's next? What's left on your plate here in 2023? I know racing's beginning to wind down up there. And what are your hopes for 2024?
It's really tough to say. I mean, we're hoping to do some more late model stuff later here in the season. Hopefully travel down south a little bit. As for next year, I mean, the big issue is just always the funding. This year, we didn't even have enough to run a full season at the start of the year. And luckily, we had some great supporters in Leading Edge Earthworks, the Sousa Railing, and GSR to to come aboard and join our previous sponsors that have been supporting us for years, Delta Bingo, FBM, RGC Sports, Leland Industries, all these guys that have been supporting me and helping out. So hopefully we can build on that and put something together for next year. The long range view is we'd like to be racing down in the States regularly. So we'll see what we can put together there for sure.
Could Caden maybe provide you an opportunity and help maybe kick a door open for you down the road?
Yeah, Caden's definitely been trying, and I think the opportunities are there. It's just whether we're able to come up with the funding to do it.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on a great season, on a championship, on the win yesterday, and enjoy the off season. What are the plans here going forward, at least for this week, to continue to celebrate?
Yeah, we're going to celebrate throughout the week, along with school, of course. So got to do that. And then I think we're going to do some sprint car racing this weekend and, finish off the week on a high.
That'll be my last question is, how tough is it to balance school and racing, especially now, running for a championship and now getting crowned a NASCAR champion. And, oh, by the way, I still have school.
It's been really tough. I mean, we're doing this little tour of the city today and taking some cool photos, some neat shots. And then I also have class later today. So it's a tough balance, especially coming from the racetrack just this morning after camping. So it's difficult. You know, the teachers, they try and work with you, but at the same time, the university schedule gets really busy. So it's kind of nice that school starts up or ends in April when race season's kind of starting a little bit after here in Canada. And then it also starts in school begins in September when the race season's kind of winding down. So there's only about a month of overlap between the two, which is nice, but that month is definitely busy and tough to juggle.
All right. Well, enjoy your time in downtown Toronto and the rest of the off season, and we'll be talking to you next year when we kick things up in 2024.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Trayton Lapcevich, your 2023 NASCAR Pinty Series champion up there in Canada, wrapping it up earlier this past week at Delaware Speedway.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Into NASCAR Coast to Coast. Hey, Rick, great conversation with Trayton Lapcevich, of course, also with Trevor Ward. We had some good guests on today's show, but Trayton Lapcevich, what a story. And we talked about it, and you heard it in the interview with the 7 wins and the season that he's had, but I think he can come back next year and do it again. What do you think?
They have all the momentum on their side right now. We'll see if it carries through the very long off season that we talked about just a bit ago with him, with the season getting started so late there in the month of May. But yeah, they're the team to beat right now in the NASCAR Pinty Series. And it's been a fun season. It was a fun season to watch. A lot happened in a relatively short amount of time up there. And congratulations to Trayton picking up yet another championship for the family. What, 7 years after brother Caden won the NASCAR Pinty Series in 2016.
Keeping right. It in the family. We love it. And of course, we love it that it's on Flow Racing, so you can watch. If you haven't seen a NASCAR Pinty Series race, Flow Racing, the place to be when it kicks off the 2024 season. All right, a couple news and notes before we get to some big races coming up again as we get closer to the end of the 2023 season. How about Bubba Pollard? This is not really news, but we know his talent behind the wheel of a late model, but he was a best man in a complete stranger's impromptu wedding at Five Flags Speedway. Didn't even have time to get in a tux, Kyle, but he was able to pull it off and stand in. How about that as a celebrity best man?
I was going to say, he's got fans out there, and they wanted to include their hero driver, and apparently they did. You know what happens? I mean, we've had weddings, here at the racetrack on the front straightaway. I think everybody involved in the wedding, though, knew that they were going to be involved ahead of time. But that's sure. Pretty cool, and good for him to do that.
Haven't seen that at any of my local tracks, but hey, congratulations, Bubba. Just check that one off the list. Maybe he can be an ordained minister too and officiate a wedding. How about Raja Karuth making news this week? He's going to drive for Hendrick Motorsports coming up in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Phoenix in the number 17 HendrickCars.com Chevrolet. Kyle, another Roots driver, of course, coming through the ARCA Menards Series, now in the Craftsman Truck Series, getting another opportunity. We saw Lane Riggs, unfortunately, not have a great debut at Texas, but what do you think Roger could do?
Yeah, showing well in the truck this year, and it'll be a track that he is comfortable on. He's run laps there, both in the ARCA Menards Series and in a truck, and he'll be in the truck that weekend on Friday night. So he'll have a lot of laps there. He'll be comfortable. That car's good whenever it races, no matter who's behind the wheel. I saw Borisette's going to drive it as well here in a couple of weeks at the Charlotte Roval. So I don't think he'll be a contender for the win, but certainly, top 15 finish, I think, probably the expectation for Raja and what will be his Xfinity Series debut.
A guy you know really well from up in New England, Ryan Preece, announcing on actually Dave Moody's show on Sirius XM that he's coming back to Stewart Haas Racing to drive the 41 car. What do you think, Kyle? This year was a little bit of a struggle. I think there's no doubt about that, and he'll admit that to you. But you think year two has a little bit more of momentum, I guess, now that at least he has his plans figured out for next year?
I hope so. It's been a rough year, not only for Ryan Preece, but for the entire Stewart Haas Racing organization. Just ask Kevin Harvick. They've struggled here this season. I think a full year under his belt now, back in the Cup Series full-time after running, a hodgepodge of events here and there, including the modified here at Stafford the last couple of years since his last stint in Cup. Unfortunately, two of the biggest wrecks of the year he was involved in. We saw one at Talladega with him and Larson, and then obviously what he went through at Daytona a few weeks ago. But I think he'll do well next year. They'll have an off season to think about it and kind of reset. And they all know each other. They've all worked together, and now they'll go into a second season hoping to have learned from this year.
Final bit of news and notes. How about Denny Hamlin expressing interest to purchase his childhood home racetrack, Southside Speedway? It's been closed since 2020. Of course, we love to hear racetrack resurgence more of the news being racetracks going away. What are your thoughts on that, Kyle, as another NASCAR driver opts to put his ring into the ownership group?
Yeah, it'll be hard to do since it's been closed now for 3 years. It's just hard to get fans back and get competitors back that have either gone elsewhere or have just left the sport completely after the track closed in 2020. I know Denny has, like you mentioned, an attachment to that racetrack growing up there. He promoted his big late model event there for many a years before it was moved to the Richmond Raceway about a decade or so ago, maybe a bit longer now. So, it'd be awesome for him to get involved and try to bring that track back to life. There's certainly, I think, some life left. It's going to be hard to do, though, since it hasn't been in operation in 3 years. And, when you're not running on a regular basis and you're not in the social media world, people forget about you. But, with a name like Denny Hamlin and the backing behind Denny Hamlin, it could be exactly what that track needs. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll stay tuned to that news. And speaking of news, let's now move over to some of the big races coming up this weekend, Kyle. A big national slate coming up. The NASCAR Wheeler Modified Tour is at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Feels so good to say that. It's the Brushy Mountain Power Sports 150 coming up 8:00 Eastern on Flow this weekend. And Kyle, what more can you say? You got Ryan Newman in the field, Bobby Labonte in the field. The crowd's going to turn out, but the Ground Pounders are back at North Wilkesboro where they belong.
Yeah, Matt Hirschman's going to be there. Andy Seiss, a former Southern champion. Burt Meyer's a former Southern champion. Veteran Tim Conley, 39 right now, strong. Plus, you have a great points battle. Justin Bonsignor just 3 points ahead of Ron Silk. They packed the place out a year ago with the open modifieds in the revival program that was put on at the North Wilkesboro Speedway last fall. The modifieds had 2 nights there. The place was packed both nights. So look forward to seeing what kind of a crowd that they get this weekend. Obviously, it should be good with the field that they're getting, 39. And like you mentioned, a lot of big names. Going to be a stacked entry list. Should be a great event this Saturday night.
And I was going to say modifieds back. I should actually say it's the first time the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tours. Yep. Of course, we had the open mods last year. All right, moving on to ARCA Menards Series. 2 ARCA platform races coming up this weekend. The first, the National Series, the Atlas 200 at Salem. Their season beginning to really wrap up with a couple left to go. That's coming up 7:30 p.m. Eastern on FS2 and Flow Racing. Jesse Love, he's got the championship in hand. I'm pretty sure he just has to start to clinch the championship. But anybody you have your eyes on as we go short track racing here at the end of the year?
Let's see, Andres Perez still looking for that first win. He's been close, showed well at Bristol a couple of weeks ago, the last time the Arkham Menards Series raced. Salem, kind of similar to Bristol, a high banked oval. So we'll see what he can do. Still looking for that first win. Brent Cruz, who has showed well on dirt, will be making his first asphalt oval start, that is, in the Arkham Menards Series. And a local favorite, Will Kimmel, who knows that place about better than anybody, will be in the field as well. So there are some folks that can challenge Jesse Love, but you're right. All he has to do is start the event to pick up the championship.
And Jesse scored the first of his 11 ARCA wins at that racetrack mm-hmm. back in 2021. Final national slate, the ARCA West Series is back in action as well. Sean Hingarani kind of in control of his destiny, right? Landon Lewis, what's going on? I mean, he's still uncertain about the rest of his season, but they're at All-American Speedway. Late start again for those of us here on the East Coast, 10:45 Eastern time on Flow Saturday night. But what do you think, Kyle? What's the story with Landon Lewis?
I have no idea. You're right. He's in control of his own destiny. We'll see what happens. He's only 1 point behind in the championship standings with Sean Hingarani, the championship point leader. There's some, again, local flair in the field, the likes of Buddy Shepard, Kyle Keller, Nick Jonitis, who we haven't seen on a full-time basis this season, going to run All-American this Saturday night, 10:45 for all the late-night folks. The green flag will drop on Flow Racing from All-American in California.
And, of course, plenty of other racing on the Flow Racing dial. Don't forget BC39, USAC Midgets at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. If you like dirt like me, check that out as well. I've heard some rumblings and maybe some NASCAR flair in that as well. The 61st annual Vermont Milk Bowl at Thunder Road in Barrie, Vermont. Boy, that's going to be a good one as well. 8 former champions are entered in that one. It's a 2-day event, Saturday and Sunday. Of course, Riverhead Langley. Championship night for them is on Saturday. Smart Mods back in action after a little bit of a break at Motor Mile on Sunday. And then Kyle, championship night for you folks up at Stafford. Can Todd Owen get it done for what would be his, what, third in a row?
Be third in a row. He's got a fairly substantial lead right now. For the SK Modifieds, there's 2 events left. We talked about the fall final being rained out earlier. So the SK Modified, their official point season won't be done until the end of October. He could clinch it here on Friday night with, I think, a top 5 or a top 6 finish. The late model champion's already been crowned. Kevin Gambacorta picked that up last week, but everybody else going to come right down to the wire. The SK Light Modified current standings are tied among Brian Sullivan and George Bissett Jr. So it should be a really great night of racing here if Mother Nature cooperates on Friday night. That's the big question.
Got our fingers crossed, and I'm knocking on some wood here on the desk for you again. Friday night, you can watch all that also on Flow Racing. Listen to Kyle up there. And tons of racing coming up this weekend, so enjoy it. Don't forget, though, if you're looking for NASCAR national racing going on, the Motor Racing Network is your place to be. Of course, we're headed to Talladega Super Speedway. The crew will be on their way for NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and NASCAR Cup Series action. The trucks hit the racetrack Saturday afternoon, 12:30 Eastern time for the Love's RV Stop 250. Of course, that's the round of 8, race number 2 for that championship. And then following that will actually be NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying at 4:30 Eastern. Then we go to Sunday, and it's the NASCAR Cup Series, Yellowwood 500. Of course, that begins with NASCAR Live Race Day at 1 p.m. on Sunday. So a lot of racing coming up, both on the national schedule and, of course, our weekly and regional touring. Kyle, enjoy championship night at Stafford, but I am glad to hear that at least fall final got moved so I can take part in that and enjoy it on Flow.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to fly up and take part in person.
I got you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
You never know. I'm racking up those miles, so we'll see. We'll see.
If you come up, bring a jacket. It's going to be chilly at the end of October, but hopefully the racing's going to be hot on the racetrack. Should be a good day.
I'm warm-blooded, so appreciate it. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelen Engineering. On the road, in the air, and around the world, Whelen is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, and trusted to perform. Many thanks to our guest, Trait Lapsevich, and, of course, Trevor Ward. For our producer, Pat Jaggers, he's Kyle Rickey. I'm Chris Wilner. We'll see you next time on NASCAR Coast to Coast.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in 4 tires. Sunoco Racing Club.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Ryan's not here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.